socially acceptable sins. What's your favorite one? Well, today we're going to talk about...
What's your favorite one?
Well, I mean, honestly, don't we all have, like, sins that we're okay? You know,
yeah,
you know
how it goes. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
My sins I like, your sins drive me crazy.
Right. So. Hence the last episode, things that drive us crazy.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Life Talks. My name is Dan. I'm with Ben. We're the teaching pastors at Life Fellowship in suburban Charlotte, North Carolina. And we have started this series several episodes ago on socially acceptable sins, sins that many of us commit on a regular basis without much thought. Mm. And the reality is, for the believer, we do not live under condemnation. Our sins don't send us to hell because we've been redeemed, but our sins do impact others, impact our relationship with God, our fellowship with Him first and with the body of Christ as well. So we ought to take them seriously. And that's why we're talking about today how we treat the poor.
Yeah, neglecting the poor is one of those socially acceptable sins. And I think we have to really ask ourselves, what does that really mean? But I think we would be shocked if you just went to Blue Letter Bible and put in poor, show up all the verses that talk about the poor in the Bible, and there are so many. I think most of us would be really surprised at how many verses there are regarding laws, and especially in the Old Testament, how to treat the poor. And God is, you know, very concerned about the injustices and the neglect and the care of the poor. And I think that if you read the Old Testament laws and you read what God, especially Psalms and Proverbs, so many passages of scripture that deal with the poor, you would walk away with this sense of, man, God really wants His people to make sure that people who are poor are taken care of. And I think we see that with Jesus, right? Jesus was no respecter of persons. And so, yeah, this is an issue that I think, you know, Dan, honestly, this has become a political issue and not a moral issue. And that's the problem. Most of us look at this through the lens through our political parties and not necessarily the issue of generosity.
Yeah. And the other thing that I can't ignore on this, probably because of the way I'm wired, but also because, you know, I've traveled to 24 countries around the world, the American definition of poverty, 99% of the time, is completely detached from the reality of poverty in the rest of the world.
Correct. Yeah.
We think someone's poor when they don't have enough money to take their kids to an amusement park or to McDonald's. Mm. We think that people who refuse to work and live below the average standards because they're wasting their money. They're buying lottery tickets or alcohol or drugs or, you know, tobacco or whatever, and then they don't have money to pay their bills. We think that's poverty. And it's not when we look at the biblical model of poverty and we look at what's going on in the rest of the world. When I go into third world countries, I literally see children who live on the street, who do not have a roof over their head and do not know where their next meal is going to get, and their clothes are in tatters. That's poverty.
That's poverty,
And I think sometimes we Americans live in our bubble and we feel like we're doing things to relieve the suffering of the poor because we hand homeless people $20 that they immediately go to the 7-Eleven and buy a case of beer with. But we feel good because we did something. And I'm afraid that many of us are missing the God-given responsibility and opportunities that come with addressing real poverty in places that may not necessarily be on our continent.
Yeah, I think that one of the things, and I got this, there's a book that was very popular about, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago. I think it's called When Helping Hurts. Did you ever read that book?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a classic. Everybody involved in that kind of work ought to read it.
And anyone that's involved in any kind of compassion ministries needs to read that book. But really, neglecting the poor doesn't mean that all you care about is a handout. Because really I think this is what the Bible teaches, and this is what the book's premise is about, is they don't, truly helping people out of poverty is not about giving money. It's about building relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And it's truly about developing friendships with people so that you can help bring them out of the world in which they live in. I remember we did this thing where we had this event called Love Denver, and we just provided our church started this thing, and it was a collaborative event between multiple churches, and still going to this day. But it provides backpacks, school supplies for kids in need, free haircuts. There's some basic health care, but it's for people who obviously live below the poverty line. But one of the things when we were talking to the Lincoln County Social Services, I remember talking to the director because they were very impressed by what we did, and they said, "We want to get to know you, we want to meet you, and just thank you for what you did." And I remember sitting in on one of their meetings in the social services department, and they were telling me about all these government programs that were created to incentivize people to get out of welfare and to get jobs, right? They would have, you know, they had employers ready to hire you. They had car services Wow. ready to pick people up. They had all these things ready to help people find jobs, housing that they could afford, all of this stuff.
That's amazing.
And yet they couldn't find people to take advantage of the programs. You know why? And this is what the director told me. Because the moment one of them stepped out of that cycle of poverty and said, "Well, I'm going to do something with my life," their friends and their family would tear them down. "Oh, you think you're better than us?"
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So poverty,
that dynamic.
Poverty and the poor is almost more of a mindset than it is how much money you make.
In-group, out-group.
Yes. Whoa. And so there was all these opportunities in America, providing jobs, providing transportation, providing housing. I mean, all these programs that were out there that people were like, "Please come. We want to get you off of this, you know, this welfare." And people were unwilling to do it because why? Because socially they would lose their friendships.
Wow.
And I think that is really it's powerful. Terrible. You need to remember that when it comes to neglecting the poor isn't necessarily about, "Oh, here's my money." That's you can do that, but that's not fixing the problem. Fixing mm-hmm. the problem is really partnering with them and helping them to discover they have the capabilities of overcoming these challenges. And mm-hmm. so, but I think that's a really important caveat before talking about the poverty issue. That needs to be number one. If you're going, neglecting the poor doesn't necessarily have to do with money. It has to do with relationships as well. So that's kind of like the foundation thing of what I want to say.
Yeah. Well, obviously scripture does talk about poor a lot.
Yes.
But it also, among the other things, says the poor we will always have with us.
Mm-hmm.
What is the believer's mission when it comes to addressing poverty? What is it? Yeah. Are we simply supposed to relieve suffering, or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, I think the number one thing that God, the overwhelming thing you see in scripture is God's concern about a lack of justice for the poor and almost favoriting the rich. And mm-hmm. that's something that I think, that's a convictional thing that we as Christians need to be very aware of. James chapter 2 talks about this. When a rich man comes in, don't show them any extra favor than you would someone who's poor. But, you know, all the laws in Deuteronomy, you know, not being a Jesus or God talks about being partial to rich people in lawsuits. There's these harvesting rules to help people to make sure, hey, you're not using all of your money for yourself. One of the tithes that the Israelites were to give was to the poor. So we understand that there is this dedication to the poor to make sure that they were not stuck there. Even the laws of freeing people. So if someone was, you know, "I'm in financial hardship and I'm going to kind of enter into some kind of indentured servitude." Whenever the Bible talks about slavery, it was so different. Back, the slavery was so different, at least in the nation of Israel, than it was outside of that. So people are like, "Oh, the Bible talks about slavery." Yeah, it was so different though, because every 7 years you had to release someone. So if someone's like, "Hey, I've got some debts. I need to put myself under you for you to help me pay off my debts." Every 7 years, people were set free, and they also had this issue of a kinsman redeemer. So if you were poor and you had to sell, you lost your family land, the person closest to you in your family could redeem the land and buy it back for you. And so there's all these laws that were helped to erase debt, whether it was the year of Jubilee or the Sabbath year, erasing debt, kind of establishing everyone kind of goes back to zero. And that way there's not this, the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer. That the economic governmental system that the Israelites had was to protect against that. And I think that's really important to understand. Elsewhere, you know, obviously in the Bible talks about poverty is better than unrighteousness. That just because you're poor doesn't mean that God is against you. Mm. And blessed is the one who's generous to the poor. Over and over and over again, God, the Bible talks about God delivering the poor from oppression and helping them. There's warnings against abusing the poor. God will judge those who oppress the poor, Isaiah chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, and then the book of Amos all over. One of the reasons why God sent judgment to Israel is because of how they treated the poor. And so I think the thing that we've got to remember is the Bible talks so profoundly about God's care for the poor. God wants us to be for the poor and not to keep them in poverty. I think that's really important. So when you get to the New Testament, Jesus brings us kind of the spirit of that, because there are no more laws of gleaning, right? But over and over again, you see in the book of Acts, you see in the book of Romans, 2 Corinthians, and Galatians, four books of the Bible in the New Testament that talk about taking collections for the poor. That is significant. That's not, I mean, one of the only times you hear of the New Testament church collecting offerings was for the poor and the widowed. So that there's something there. And again, we live in a completely different society, completely different economic system, but there is a priority of, we're going to make sure that we're taking care of people that need to be taken care of. Yeah. And I think that's fundamental to the Christian faith.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like what you were talking about originally, because sometimes that involves things more than money.
Yeah.
You know, Americans love to give money because it's convenient, and we have more of it than we probably need, or a lot of people do. Time is also a way you invest in the poor. Mm-hmm. Giving them a job, mm-hmm. giving them a place to stay, mm-hmm. giving them clothing for their back. Mm-hmm. You know, the scripture talks about if somebody needs a shirt, give them your coat
that's
too.
That's right. That's right.
You know, because some people say, well, if I was rich, I'd be more generous. I don't believe that.
Nope.
I believe that if you're generous with little, you'll have the opportunity to be generous with a lot. But if you're not generous, you know, wealth is not, some of the stingiest people I know are wealthy people.
Yes. I think
the most generous people I know are poor people.
Yes. I think that's so important that you mentioned this. This really comes down to an issue of generosity, and not just with your money, but also with yourself. Right? That you genuinely care about people that are less off than you. Mm-hmm. And so you're aware of these things. And so you're trying to help people out that just have less means than you. That to me is one of the most important things that we are aware of, and that we want to be generous. I just think it's that awareness that you hear stories of someone who might be struggling a little bit, and you say, you know what, I'm going to buy them something, or I'm going to give them an anonymous gift. I think having that kind of sensitivity and awareness of the people around you, especially within the church, that you don't just think about how much money you can collect for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the principles I would say moving forward to really make sure that you don't neglect the poor, because this is more of a, I mean, there's no thou shalt or thou shalt not in the New Testament, but we see principles of laid out. And many times it's not necessarily a sin of commission, but a sin of omission. Like, we're just not giving to the people that God says to give to. But to me, the biggest ditches that Christians fall into is that there's unrestrained empathy or just cynicism.
Yeah.
I think those are the two ditches that Christians can fall into, and that can cloud how we interact with people who need help, you know? So I think that's where I would start, is what is the ditch that you're most likely to fall into? And that's the one you need to be aware of, and make sure that you are not letting, because all of us have had experiences of people using and abusing us.
Yep.
And that can taint us, unfortunately, and we can't let that happen. So that's the number one principle I would say, is be aware of the ditches of unbridled empathy or cynicism.
Yeah. I think another couple of ditches that we have is where it's all social justice and no gospel, or it's all gospel and no so compassion.
Good. That's so good.
I see that a lot. I for years I was part of a system where people were like, we don't help poor people. We're missionaries.
Yeah.
And what we do is, you know, we win people to Christ. We don't help with medical care. We don't dig wells. We don't build buildings. We only
do churches. Yeah. Right.
On the other side, I've been around the world and I've seen missions agencies that have a cross on them, or they claim to be started by a denomination or whatever. And you couldn't find the gospel in those organizations if you were searching for it. I mean, it's just not there. But they're great. They have a hospital. They've got clinics. They've got, you know, construction teams. They're all doing all kinds of good works. And you know, extremes of every area of life, you know, we have to be really, really mindful of them because they'll take us off track. Mm. And so remember when Jesus would say, you know, it's one thing to you know, to offer people water, but not living water, bread, but not the bread from which. At the other time, he said, it's wrong for you to see somebody in need and just say, be filled, you know, be satisfied. That we have to approach both sides of those.
Yeah, I think that's so important because even Jesus didn't feed everyone that came to him. Remember the day after the feeding of the 5,000, I think it's in John 6, when they come follow him like, hey, that was great. Do that again. And he's just like, I'm not giving you another meal. Because what they want, they were looking for a handout. They were looking to use him. And I think you always want to make sure that you're not falling into that kind of trap. But I do think, Dan, what you're saying is you got to do both. It's not just about here's a cup of warm soup to keep you warm, but it's also I'm going to give you the good news of Jesus. It's doing both of those well, not sacrificing one for the other. So I think that's another one that's really important. The other one I would say is don't make judgments on poor people. Mm-hmm. Don't you don't know their story. Mm-hmm. You would be surprised at how many people that you hear and you're like, man, I would be in the same predicament as you if I experienced the tragedies that you did. Kind of like these snowball events. And we don't know how many of them are working 2-3 jobs just to kind of make it and supporting their family. And those are the kinds of people I think we need to don't make judgments on people just because you see them struggling financially. That to me is really important. And don't just try to, I want to be close to the wealthy people. I mean, here in Lake Norman, let's be honest, we don't see poverty as much as most people do. Yep. And the reality is, Dan, you and I, we all know this, that the whole purpose of suburbia was so that middle-class people wouldn't have to deal with poor people, right?
At least one of the motivations.
Yeah, I mean, one of the motivations is get out of the city. And so we kind of have these controlled environments where we don't see this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And when we do see it, it's like, well, I got to move now.
Right.
And that's not the right spirit either.
Yeah.
So I think we have to really ask ourselves, do I love and care for the poor the way Jesus did, the way Jesus really did? And is my heart moved? And then what am I doing about it? There are so many organizations out there that are doing something. I mean, for the real impoverished, like, it, you know, Compassion International. We know that money's going to these kids who's helping them go to school, get an education, helping their family eat. Like, these are the kinds of things you're like, I have no problem sponsoring 1, 2, 3 children on that kind of thing because I know what they're doing and I know what they're doing is good.
Practical question. So we all drive by people who are at an intersection.
Yeah.
And they're holding a sign. And I have a few times bought meals for people, had meals with people, things like that. But I haven't tended to give money in that situation because, and this might be a myth, I hope it's not, but I've heard a lot of times it's like if you put the money towards the places that are trying to directly help them, that ends up being actually more effective for them. And so he's just like, as a Christian who wants to help and feels terrible and very conflicted because I also don't have any time to research this and figure it out, or I haven't at least, I haven't prioritized it, help me. Yeah. How can we be helping them?
I think it's really important not to give money because you do not know if you are actually enhancing. You know what I mean?
I agree completely.
Because I've been... I'll tell you a funny story. I have a friend of mine who is a pastor in another town, and you know, some homeless guy comes up to him, hey man, can I just get a few dollars for lunch? And he's like, well, let's go to McDonald's right down here. He's like, no man, I don't want it. He's like, no, come on. Yeah. Right. Finally convinced the guy's like, okay, goes to McDonald's, buys him a meal, and leaves there and is making errands. And he's driving by the park in the town, and he sees the guy sitting next to another guy. He had exchanged the McDonald's meal for a for some booze. Nice. So even him trying to buy the meal, the guy took the meal and gave
There's
it to another guy.
So much he can do.
Yeah, the guy who had booze and exchanged the meal for the booze. So it was like, it's very dangerous to give, not dangerous, but you don't want to, you don't know what you're feeding if you give cash. Yes, make sure that you're giving, if you're going to support, I think those institutions like the Charlotte Rescue Mission, that's actually this month's giving emphasis is to provide supplies for people who are homeless. So, I mean, those are, you can, you know, you're going to do some good with that.
Yeah. And if we go back to our last episode, we were talking about rants about things that irritate
drive
us.
You crazy.
One of the things that drives me crazy is people say, well, you just never know. And so you never, and often they'll pull out the words, I could be entertaining angels unaware. You know, they'll use that one. That, yeah. I
wait, that's the reason not to?
No, that's why they give.
Oh.
So in other words, like so I'm just going to give them 20. Yeah, but they. But,
yeah, but that angel's been hanging out in that corner for a long time.
And angel's fun.
And that angel's driving a better car than you are. But I think we have to approach this through stewardship. So we want to have discernment without being harshly cynical.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I hate the word judgmentalism because that becomes a catch-all phrase for anybody that is careful, you know, sometimes.
Right. You just mean so, discerning.
Yeah. Just we have to be discerning without letting our cynicism take over. And I mean, I think, you know, my personality, my wiring is such that I want to make sure. I don't want to feed the bad habits. I want to feed the right habits. But we constantly, and the best way to stay sensitive to that is to actually do something more than give money.
Mm.
And that's to go help, go volunteer,
yeah.
get down in the trenches.
And that's what most people are not willing to do.
Right.
And it almost makes people, feels people like, oh yeah, I can give money. I can write a check to that. But to actually involve yourself relationally with people.
And that may be an actual sacrifice. And, you know, I think that's what God wants us to do is is to not to give out of our overflow, but to give out of our, so that we're dependent upon Him.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, even in Luke chapter 2, where they were putting all things in common for a while, and people want to say, well, there you go. That's communism. That's what we should be doing, right? Or socialism or whatever, however you want to. Right? That wasn't the principle. The principle was, if you see a need, I'm going to meet the need.
That's right.
And at that stage in their church, things were happening so rapidly. They said, hey, let's just, for a time, let's bring everything together and make sure everybody's covered.
Yeah, and what they were giving money to was to feed people. It was not, you know what I mean? Like, it was survival. And that to me is, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we've always seen the church rise up in those times of crisis when those kinds of issues are really at stake. Yeah, the church does a good job at that, and I think it's important. So,
all right, well, this has been an important episode as we've continued our series on acceptable sins. I hope you and your family will just have a conversation. What could you be doing that may touch the life and build a relationship, as Ben said, with someone who may be experiencing need? And sometimes that need is financial, but sometimes it's just relational. Sometimes they're just lonely.
Yeah.
Sometimes they need a helping hand because of an illness. But the Lord gives us the opportunity if we'll just be aware of what He's doing around us. As always, thank you so much for listening to us here at Life Talks. If you ever want to contact us, do so at lifetalks@lifecharlotte.com. And until next time, thanks as always for joining us at Life Talks.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.